of the soil or the parable of the seeds. And in this this parable, if you're not familiar with a parable, what it is basically a hypothetical story that is told to convey a spiritual truth. So understand, as we read through this, this did not actually happen. It is just Jesus painting a visual picture to convey spiritual truth. So let's read through this, verses 1 through 20 of Mark chapter 4, and then we'll discuss these verses. All right? Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat, and he sat in it out on the lake. And while all the people were along the shore in the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and in his teachings he said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has an ear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' And then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed that was sown along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." All right, so brief overview. What's going on here is you have a few different components in this story. First, you have the farmer, and that farmer goes out and he sows or plants a seed. And that seed falls on, as we see, different types of soil. And depending on the condition of those soils, it depends on what type of fruit, what type of produce is brought in. Now, to be on the same page, what we're going to do is just work through some definitions of the things that we see, all right? The first of which is, of course, the farmer. Now, Jesus doesn't clarify as he goes back through and gives the explanation of the parable. He doesn't clarify what this component represents, but obviously we know in this story the farmer to represent those who are believers in Christ. Now, at the time that Jesus spoke this, obviously, that was not the case, all right? It represented those who were sent by God to proclaim the good news that there is hope in God the Father. At that time, there were not yet Christians, and so at that time, it obviously could not be that it represented Christians, but this is what he is proclaiming to us now, because things are different. Since telling this parable, obviously Christ has given us the Great Commission. He's told us to go and make disciples, and Christianity and the church has been formed, and now it's the role of believers in Christ to be the farmer as we see here. Now, the second component is then the seed, and the seed represents the word, the gospel. If you look at verse 14, it says very specifically that the farmer sows the word. The seed is the word. Early on in Jesus' ministry, it says that he was going village to village and he was proclaiming the gospel. And up to that point, he had only been preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's all he had been preaching up to this point. And today we know that the gospel is that we are hopelessly dead in our sins, but by God's grace, he sent his Son to take our punishment for our sins, and by believing in him, we have eternal life. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. Whoever believes in him will not die, but will have everlasting life. So this is the gospel as we know it today. But again, obviously, that wasn't what Jesus was preaching at the time. Clearly, he had not yet died, which means he had not yet been raised from the dead. And so this was not the case at that time. Instead, at that time, many of them, what they were striving for was good behavior, was morality. And they were not striving to know God personally. They were not striving to know his heart. They were simply striving to be good people. Okay? Today's believers aren't meant to understand the seed in this story as the gospel, and that there is hope in Jesus. But the reality is, it's much more than that. It's not just that piece of the story. The seed, as we just said, is the Word of God, which is not just meant to be understood as the gospel among unbelievers, but it's truth that is sown to believers like today. I would trust that most of you in this room are believers in Christ who believe in the gospel, who believe that Jesus has come and taken our punishment. And so as believers, we still need to understand that the word is constantly being sown to us just like it is right now. And so this then takes us to the soil, and as many of you are aware, the soil in this parable represents man's heart. And there were four different types of soils, and we'll discuss those in just a moment. But the truth is, whenever anyone hears the word, whenever anyone hears the gospel, they respond in one of several ways. There were four different ways that were explained by Jesus in this parable, and we'll work through those in just a moment. But again, I encourage you to understand this in a couple of ways. I do believe that most of the people look at the soil that Jesus is speaking of here, and they immediately apply it to the unbeliever, okay? To those who first hear the gospel preached to them and hear of repentance of heart and mind and action and to believe in Jesus, and they do respond in one of these ways, and that is very, very applicable here. However, as believers, again, we're taught the word over and over and over again. And though we, again, believe in the gospel, there are sometimes several factors that go into us accepting what is being taught week in and week out. For example, all right, for some of you, you may get used to someone in particular teaching, and so when you see a guest speaker come in, you're thinking, okay, time to get out the phone and check out whatever is going on today and check my fantasy football team or whatever you're into. All right. So you're looking at different things, and the truth is, sometimes depending on our relationship with those who are teaching, maybe a history with them, we'll sometimes reject a little bit of what they have to say. The truth is, our phase of life impacts the way that we receive the word. That there are so many passages in the scriptures that are written about parenting, about, in particular, fathers, right? Now, I have four kids, but I haven't always, obviously. So at one point in my life, I would hear those passages taught, and I would immediately think about my dad, and I would apply them to him and measure my dad based on what I saw in the Word. And so I didn't necessarily receive the Word and get taught by it. I immediately applied it to someone else. Now that I have children, I'm looking at it saying, whoa, this is for me, okay? And I didn't necessarily allow it to equip me before. I applied it to other people. And so our phase of life absolutely affects the way that we receive the Word. Your knowledge and your understanding, the deeper you grow in your faith, the more you understand what is being taught. And so you are able to receive the Word in a different way. If we're really honest with each other, sometimes our mood, like coming into hearing the Word taught, impacts the way that we hear the Word. We might come into it in a very, very bad mood, and we think, I don't want to listen to this today. And we reject it, and we just leave it at arm's length. And there's other times that we come into hearing the Word taught in Sunday school or Wednesday nights or in message times in the services, and we're saying, Lord, please teach me. And when we come in that way, we receive the Word totally differently than if we are rejecting it. And so all this to say, we understand that we receive the Word differently. And just side note, some of you might have come in this morning and thought, okay, it's coming up on Christmas. We're finally able to sing those Christmas carols for those of you who are crazy who have been singing since like the beginning of September and whatever, and you're thinking, yes, Christmas messages, right? Well, the truth is we receive those differently too because we hear them every single year, year after year. And so it impacts the way that we receive the Word that is taught to us. I don't actually think you're crazy if you've done that. You just may need counseling, that's all. Okay. All right. Pastor Jason's never going to ask me back. But all this to say, I think obviously we receive the Word in very different ways at different times. And so we need to believe, or we need to understand that this soil, every time I've heard this passage taught, has been immediately applied to the unbeliever and how they respond to the hearing of the gospel. But it is absolutely applicable to you and I as believers here today. So let's take a look at the soil. Let's take a look at the heart conditions that Jesus highlights here. The first of which is the hardened heart, the path. And we see that in verse 4 and verse 15. Take a look at those verses in the Bible. It says, verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Verse 15, some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So clearly here, Jesus is describing seed that falls on a path. It stays on the surface and is taken away or swept away or eaten by birds. But the visual here is that in this field, there is this trampled down, beaten down path that's going through it, that when the seed is sown, it's so hard, like concrete or like a gravel road, that it just kind of stays on the surface and is not able to penetrate and go into their hearts. So people hear the word and their heart is so hardened by whatever has happened to them in life that they just leave it on the surface, again, almost rejecting it, keeping it at arm's length, and not allowing it to impact their hearts. Again, this is very, very true of unbelievers. And so many people who do not believe in Christ, they'll hear about Christ and just immediately reject it because there's been so many things that have happened in their life to trample them down. But the fact of the matter is, for you as a believer, when you hear the word and you hear something, just quite frankly, that you don't want to hear, that's our reaction as well. We like to keep it back and not allow it to come in and to penetrate our hearts. Now, many of us are spiritually mature enough that we wouldn't just reject it outright like that. What we would do instead is we would justify it, and we would look at whatever is being taught, and we would say, well, this doesn't really apply to me because of A, B, C, and D. And we'd make this list of different things in our own minds that causes us to reject the word, but we're doing the same exact thing. And I would just encourage you to consider this, that every time you hear the word taught and you justify it so that it doesn't have to apply to you, that might be a flag that this is true of your heart, that you are rejecting something that is being taught. Now, I understand that there is a context, and so sometimes there is a justification that you look at and say, well, that's not really applicable here, and I understand that. But I think you see where I'm coming from, saying if we begin to justify everything that is being taught to us so that we don't have to apply it, this is where we end up. We end up very proud, and we end up with a hard heart, and we need to be very careful of that. The second soil that Jesus explains here is the rocky soil. Look at verse 5 again. It says, some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Now in verse 16, when Jesus explains, he says, others, like the seed sown on the rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Verse 17, but since they have no root, they last only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So these verses explain someone who receive the seed with joy, and what happens is they seem to grow, and they seem to grow very quickly, but because the soil is hindered and the roots are hindered by these rocks, these things going on underneath the surface that get in the way of the roots truly growing deep, what happens is they die off very, very quickly. Now, I would guess that many of us know people like this, know unbelievers like this. They seem to grasp the gospel. They seem to commit to it. They seem to grow. They seem to shoot up quickly. And then all of a sudden, one thing happens in their life. And quickly, because they have no root, they die off and they fall away. They dwindle off. Now again, as believers, we do this with certain aspects of the things that we are taught as well about Christ. We hear, for example, we should be reading our Bibles. And as a youth pastor, that's one of the things that I hear constantly as we talk with the youth, is that we know we ought to be reading our Bibles. And then we'll do something, we'll talk to them about it, and they'll do it, and it'll go really, really well for about 3 days. And then they go right back into the habit that they were in. Okay? We do this with a lot of different things in our lives, and we need to be careful of the same exact thing. Now, the third soil that Jesus explains was the soil in the thorn thicket. Verse 7 says, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up, choked the plants, and so they did not bear grain. In verses 18 and 19, it says, still others, like seed sown among the thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So, in these verses, you hear the gospel falls on people's hearts, and they have a lot of influence from the outside choking out what is going on the inside, whether it is persecution, people making fun of them, whatever the case is, they begin to pursue earthly things. They're greedy. They're more concerned about their self-image than they are about their relationship with Christ, and that causes any form of growth to be choked out and end because of all of their earthly pursuits. Now, again, obviously, this could be true of the unbeliever, but it can also be very, very true of the believer. Those of us who believe in the gospel and we allow certain things to come into our hearts and we know they're true, but we really want to pursue something else instead. And so we begin going after the things of this world, and our relationship with Christ just kind of dwindles, right? And so in that could be in various aspects of our Christianity. Some things could be going very, very well, and then other things that he's calling us to do, we neglect, and we pursue earthly things, and that area just becomes barren in our lives, all right? So again, very true for unbelievers, very true for us as well. Now finally, the last soil that Jesus explained was the good soil. Verse 8 and verse 20, they both essentially say the same thing. It says, still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. So obviously, this soil represents those who hear the gospel, allow it to take root, allow it to change them, and because of that, they produce fruit, they reproduce, they make an impact for the kingdom. That's what we see out of the good soil. Now, I know that I just spent quite a bit of time explaining this parable, defining things, and explaining the soil that probably many of you are very familiar with. But in knowing all this, I say all this to say, okay, what is our role in this parable? As we look at this, we see Jesus highlight a few different things. And I think for all of us, regardless of our spiritual gifts, regardless of our phase of life, there are going to be a handful of different duties that God has called all of us to by giving us the Great Commission to make disciples. And these duties, I believe, are captured well by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 6 through 9. He says this. God speaks this same truth through Paul, saying, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes the seed grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field and God's building. Now, clearly from this parable, from God's word through Paul and his teaching, we have a few different roles. And for now, in this first part, I would just encourage you to consider this as our role specifically toward unbelievers. All right? The first thing is obviously to plant the seed. We as believers have been given the Great Commission to go and to make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them everything that Christ has commanded us. Everyone who is a believer has a role in this task. It's not meant for those who are just gifted with evangelism. It's meant for everyone who believes. Now, I know that many people who are not gifted at evangelism, and I don't feel I'm one of them, but many people will end up saying, you know what, I'm just going to teach the gospel in the way that I live. Have you ever heard that? I hope you've never said that. Okay, but that's something we hear a lot. And there is something that is very, very wrong in doing that, all right? First of all, the fact is we fail, and therefore we cannot possibly convey the gospel in our actions because we wouldn't be able to accurately because we fail, we sin. And secondly, even if I said, today I am just going to proclaim the gospel in everything that I do, in the way that I live my life, if I don't ever proclaim Christ and bring Christ's name into it, all I have actually done is taught people you should be really good and really moral. That's all I've taught them. And so we need to understand that without telling them that we are a sinner in need of God's grace through Christ, we haven't proclaimed anything yet. In Romans 10, verse 14, it says this, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those to bring good news. All right? I urge you, I know it's terrifying at times to go out and to proclaim the gospel in the workplace, to openly talk about Christ. I understand it can be terrifying, but it can also be one of the most joyous things that you ever engage in, and I would urge you to engage in it and look for opportunities to graciously plant the seed of the gospel. The second thing that Paul said, he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, okay? So our second role in all of this is to water the seed, and I would add to cultivate the soil as well. Now, just a quick show of hands, how many of you farm? Any farmers in here? Okay, a couple. Any of you have family who farm? All right, great. So I grew up in Southwest Michigan, which is why I'm a Lions fan, and you don't need to make fun of me about that. I know they're awful. But I was surrounded by farmland. I moved to Nebraska, and everybody's like, so did you guys have farms there? Yep. I was like surrounded. I basically grew up on a farm, but my family wasn't farmers, okay? But there is a reality here that in springtime, farmers go out and they plant the seed, okay? Now, what do they do after that? Do they go and do they just sip iced tea and lemonade on a lawn chair and in a hammock and just wait until it's time to go out and bring the crop in? Is that what they do? No, of course not. Of course not. They don't do this. Think about this in the context of what we're talking about. If there is a hardened path in the middle of a farmer's field, at least a good farmer's field, they're going to go out and they're going to do something about it. They're going to chip it up. They're going to till it away. And if God is calling you to minister to someone whose heart is hard, you need to understand, first of all, this is a very, very high calling because it is very difficult to come alongside someone whose heart is bitter and hard and to faithfully, day after day, minister to them and lovingly care for them. It takes a lot of patience, and I see a lot of you kind of nodding your head like this because you understand that this is true. But this is what good farmers do, all right? They don't just, hey, you need to believe in Jesus, throw the seed out there and walk away. They do the hard work of cultivating the soil. That's what a good farmer does. Secondly, if you think about the rocky soil that Jesus explained, if a good farmer has a field that's full of boulders, he doesn't just look at it and say, well, I guess that's going to be a rough one every year. What they do is many times over the course of years, and this is why you see certain fields with a whole bunch of rocks piled up in one corner, is because they've gone out maybe over the course of several years and they've begun to remove those rocks so that their plants can grow deeper roots. That's what good farmers do. It takes a lot of work, but that's what they do. Now, there are a lot of things that get in the way of unbelievers receiving the gospel and allowing it to take root in their lives. For many people, they hear you talk about Jesus and they've been told something about Jesus that is not true, all right? They hear you talk about the Bible, and they've heard the Bible talked about in a negative way their entire life, and so what happens is they don't understand it because they have a misunderstanding of what's going on. It is a boulder in the way of allowing a root to grow down deep in their heart and their mind. Again, a good farmer doesn't just wave their hands in the air and say, well, I guess that's too bad. They go after it and they seek to do something about it. You get the chance, if you're ministering to someone whose heart is like this and they have a lot of misunderstandings about who God is, you get the chance to come alongside of them and accurately explain who He is, and to accurately describe what the Bible is and who God is and how this world is working. And so look for opportunities to remove the boulders, all right? Again, the third soil that Jesus explained was the thicket, the thorn bushes. And if a good farmer has a thicket of thorn bushes in their field, what they do is they put their leather gloves on and they go out there and they start to remove them. One by one, they go in and they take them out. Now, if God has called you to minister to someone whose life is seemingly surrounded by people and thinking that is opposed to the scriptures, you need to understand something, right? You don't get to go in and begin to minister to them and begin to care for them and begin to pull those thorn bushes out and help pull those thorn bushes out without getting poked and stabbed and ended up bleeding in some way, all right? We at our church had a middle school service project where we worked on this hill across the parking lot, and it was just covered in these thorn bushes, and these thorns were long. I mean, they were nasty. And as we're going through and kind of dividing up, I had a feeling I'm going to end up there, and sure enough, that's where I ended up. And so me and a couple students went in there with chainsaws and just began, but to even take a chainsaw to the base of those, you have to get to the base of those, which means you have to get down in there. We came out just, and obviously I don't have a lot of hair up top, which is a personal choice, by the way. But I come out with blood all over. I had been wearing leather gloves, and it pierced through the leather gloves, and so my hands are bleeding, my head's bleeding. I'm coming out itching all over the place, and it was nasty. All right? And this is the reality. This is the picture of what it looks like if we begin to minister to people who have things in their life that are choking out the seed of the gospel. For example, there are certain people who have other people in their lives that are telling them you shouldn't believe this. And to go alongside of them and encourage them to create distance, that's a hard thing. All right? And so they might strike back at anything that you end up saying. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but only God can make that seed grow. So one other thing that we need to make sure that we are doing is praying that God would make the seed grow. Only God can do that. The truth is, you and I cannot force people to believe in Christ, but He can work in their hearts. He can work in their minds, and so ask Him to do that. If you're interested in praying, Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6, gives some thoughts on that. Now, lastly, but as I mentioned before, this is primarily speaking about our role toward unbelievers, but there is a reality here that as we've talked about this morning, even as believers, we go through seasons, and so one of our roles in hearing this parable taught is that we need to understand the condition of our hearts as well. Your heart is in one of these conditions, and hearing that your responsibilities are these things, to maybe proclaim the gospel, to plant the seed of the gospel. As a believer, many reject that calling, and they push that back. But it's not just about the Great Commission to go and to spread the seed of the gospel. The truth is, it's about everything that we hear taught in the Word. And so, at times, our hearts are hard. And so, when God calls us to repent, we immediately reject. We hear the Word say one thing, we know our lives look different, and so we just push back, and we say, I don't want to hear this. And we need to understand that and repent of that. Secondly, there are many times, even in believers' lives, who we don't understand certain doctrines, and we're not willing to humble ourselves to ask someone about it because we're afraid they're going to look at us and say, well, you should know this already. How long have you been a believer, right? But the reality is there are always things that we don't understand. I mean, it's the mystery of Christ. It's called that for a reason. There are deep doctrines that I don't know that anyone is fully going to understand. And so to go and to humble ourselves and to ask so that the roots can grow deeper, that's a good thing. That's not something we should be ashamed or embarrassed of. And then third, I mean, God may be calling you to remove some of the thorn bushes that are in your lives, the different things that you're pursuing, that He's saying, no, you need to stop going after this thing that's all about you, and you need to pursue me instead. And those are things that get in the way and don't allow growth. Maybe you have someone involved in your life that is bringing a very negative influence, and God is constantly asking you to create some distance between you and them, and you simply don't want to because it's good for your self-image to be around that person at work or wherever it is. But listen, if God is calling us to do that, we need to create that separation. Now, obviously, I am not saying that we shouldn't hang out with unbelievers, but there are certain people throughout our lives that we come into contact with who have a deeper influence on us than we are able to stand firm against. And if that's the case, God may be asking you to create some distance there. I trust the Spirit can expose to you what it is that He's asking you to do in all of these different areas. Regardless, my encouragement to you this morning is to be humble and to be the good soil, to allow, when you hear the word taught, to take root in your life, whether you really, truly, by your sinful nature, like it or not. Allow it to take root. Be humble and ask God to change you, because we all need that. All right? Pastor Dale is going to come now and close our service down, but I just, again, thank you for the opportunity to come and to share the word this morning.